possessing of minds in China. The acme of contemplation is not unraveling the mysteries of existence, but is ultimately how reflection can impact our lives. This is to say that Chinese philosophers were so attuned to socio-political thought that any metaphysical concept was accorded an ethical match, and every rationalistic theory turned into a social or political one. Iranian philosophers, however, were also given to unveiling the esoteric and mystical secrets of the whole being, in addition to debating moral and social ideas. As such, the two nations have had many cultural and philosophical exchanges throughout history.
As far as I'm aware, the initial cultural exchanges between Iran and China are 2,000 years old and are documented in writing. We have historical evidence to that effect, of course, in China.
In my opinion, Iran is a mysterious land. I want to learn more about it and the medium, how to say it, medium for that is learning the Iranian language.
داریوش میخونی؟ بفرمای.
افسوس که نام جوانی طی شد. نامه جوانی طی شد. وان تازه بهار زندگانی دی شد. آن مرغ طرب که نام او بود شباب. فریاد ندانم که کی آمد کی شد.
I investigated and learned that the oldest document on Sino-Iranian trade and traffic goes back to around 2,100 years ago.
The ties between the two countries are as old as history itself. Sino-Persian culture, commercial and scientific relations date back over two millennia. However, it was only until the middle of the 2nd century AD that political ties were forged. Even available documents indicate a vast connection between the two people, predating any political relations, the manifestations of which can be vividly seen in many cultural and historical resemblances. This is despite a plentitude of clear differences resulting from historical and religious transformations, which also have a lot to do with geographic particularities.
In my view, the prevailing disposition in Iran, namely as it regards religious affiliation, is quite different from the Chinese mentality, because most Chinese people are either Buddhists or have no religion at all. That is, they don't much believe in God. But I think all religions and customs in the world should be respected and should be tolerated.
Peaceful coexistence among adherents of various religions and mutual respect has had a constant presence in China, so much so that the famous Venetian wayfarer Marco Polo II has hinted at that in his travelogue.
If you wish to know more of the prevalence of the Persian language among Chinese Muslims, you may go to the mosque. I don't know if you have been to the Niuja Mosque in Beijing or other places.
In Persian, there are countless instances of word combination in which the term China has been used, and by which a vast semantic application concerning Iranian civility, culture, and history has been exhibited. This literary usage bespeaks a very friendly and intimate relations between Iran and China. Such phrases as the Chinese mirror, the comeliness of China, the Chinese deer, and the likes. On the other hand, we can detect numerous traces of Persian words in the Chinese tongue as well. This is especially so among the Muslim population, for whom Farsi terminology and literature amount to the language of religion, although nowadays the applicability and relevance of such words for the Chinese is not very clear.
If you have been to the mosques, then you must have seen people preparing for prayers, and that all prayer times are actually in Farsi, but written in Chinese characters, like the morning prayer, the preceding noon prayer, the other afternoon prayer, the evening sunset prayer, and the sleep time night prayer. They are written per Farsi pronunciations and not Arabic. Persian words transliterated into Chinese. You should have seen that. Have you? Huh?
The historical relations between Iran and China are not merely restricted to commercial transactions, but there is eloquent evidence in ample measure to the depth and breadth of cultural interactive agencies.
You'll be going to Xinjiang, there you'll see the influences of the Persian language much more, because most people living there are of Uyghuri ethnicities, and they are quite close to you in terms of religion.
The region of Xinjiang in northwest China is in itself a vastly open terrain that showcases much cultural and historical proof to the extensive Sino-Iranian ties. Linguistically speaking, people here have experienced tremendous transitions. But despite all these changes, Farsi vocabulary still had a marked presence in their writing and speaking. In spite of sustained efforts to expand Chinese language and script in this province, the Xinjiang people still continue to use the Uyghuri orthographic system and language as their mother tongue. The Uyghuri tongue shares its roots with East Iranian Sogdian languages. This language was transported to this region by certain migrating Aryan people over 1,000 years ago and has undergone the vicissitudes of ages.
We now have an Iranology center or department, and it was created by yours truly. The Center for Iranian Cultural Research, intention of building such a center, I suppose, has greatly benefited both countries for cultural interactions.
Well, I can tell you that I speak four languages, but if I were to compare them, I'd say that linguistically speaking, the Persian language grammar, like English, isn't that difficult for me, and it's quite easier to learn compared to that of Chinese and Japanese.
The historical signs are spread across this immense Chinese landscape, bespeaking the undeniable epoch-making impact of the Silk Road on commercial and cultural interactions. The profundity of this influence was such as to defy remaining in the past, but to transcend barriers of ages well into the present time.
But the Persian language or Farsi is not that difficult in terms of grammar. And I find it a very free and flowing sort of language. It's not that complex, although it's not that simple either. This language is very unrestrained. How can I put it? It's also at times ambiguous, and that makes it quite appropriate for expressing human emotions, as in versifying. I'm drawn to Persian poetry, and quite truthfully so. I feel privileged to have been able to read these verses in Farsi.
The red fish cleaves wide the stretch of water, so that may in its cleft ripples happiness swell. With my cadenced words, calling, am I the forest, so that may the green and its verdure seep into the depth of my very heart. A bridge may it be for meeting you, my like-tongued friend, residing in a far and foreign land.
I'm Ven Yusu, and as I was saying, after retirement, I've now become professor of China's Radio and Television University. I studied Russian language at Beijing's Foreign Languages College, and after graduation in 1954 Christian calendar, went on to read Persian literature in China's radio and television school, where I then worked at the Radio World Service until retirement. I still work there as anchor, news translator, and writer. This is Radio China's International Service. Dear listeners, today I'll be seeking to acquaint you with the Persians' village in China, which is a historical proof to the Sino-Iranian friendly relations. The city of Yangju in the distant past used to be a famous commercial hub in China. The number of Persians who arrived in it by sea or the Silk Road was quite many. In the east of Yangju, there is a village called Bosijon, meaning the village of the Persians. This village is at least 600 years old. The Bosi River, too, passes through the heart of this village. At the entrance of the